Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. I watched that budget hearing last evening. That took place yesterday at 3 o'clock last evening. I got an opportunity to sit down and watch it. And I'm going to try and put this whole conversation in some context as to the difficulty of everything that is going on and the fact that we still don't know right now how many more payrolls we're able to cover. Joe Threat said yesterday that the bimonthly payroll is about $20 million. So there's five pay periods left in this year. And they're not sure. They believe they can cover the next one. There's uncertainty after that as to what they're going to be able to cover. We have find ourselves in a really ticklish predicament. There are a lot of people working behind the scenes trying to make things happen, trying to move this ball along that would be contrary to what would normally happen and be required in order to procure or secure financing of a revenue anticipation bond, going through the bond commission, trying to get this thing done so that we can continue, the city can continue to pay their employees, pay their bills. Got vendors out there not being paid. They have moved off of net 30. They processed their last batch, according to some of the testimony the other day. None of this is good. None of it. But what's interesting is some of the media is now bringing the receipts, right, about what this council was told not too long ago. And WDSU posted a video of a hearing where Gilbert Montano and Romy Samuel, Gilbert being the chief administrative officer and the chief financial officer, Romy Samuel, appeared before the city council. And it's amazing what they were told in April. April. And I quote from this article, Gilbert Montano: "If we spent every dollar this entire year and everything comes to fruition, we will end the year with a $100 million fund balance. There would be no deficit, right? And we would have a $100 million fund balance on December 31st, which on January 1st means they have a $100 million surplus. On the last day, it's fund balance. On the first day, it's surplus." Montano doubled down during that April meeting. He says as follows, and I quote, "This financial snapshot, I hope, presents the opportunity for the city to make appropriate adjustments, but should assure the public that our financial position is stable through continued fiscal stewardship and financial planning, the city assures structural balance through 2025 and heading into 2026. Now, the article appropriately points out that this is in the aftermath, and I would assume you've been able to see the data of what went on after the New Year's Day terror attack, the snow event, and the Super Bowl, right? And also from Taylor Swift, which was in quarter four of 2024. Now, how in April can we make these representations to the council and at the same time testify today through these series of budget committees, because Romy Samuel's still around, Gilbert Montano's now moved on to the executive team at the Audubon Society, Audubon Zoo. How can one stand before the council today and say, we've been warning you? We've been attempting to tell you, we've been trying to make you aware of the precarious position that we find ourselves in and that the budget is being strained. I just kind of believe somebody on the council's got to get a little bit more aggressive and box these people into a corner to answer these questions. I know it's uncomfortable. These are nice folks. You've worked with them for a long time, right? You want to be respectful. Sometimes you just got to push. You got to demand the answers because none of this is making any sense. And then I would love to hear what the backroom conversations were about how you could make this representation to the council and what went on where someone says, well, I think we can tell them this, or I think maybe we shouldn't tell them that, or I don't know, you know, where we're going to be. But obviously somebody misled this council, excuse me, and I would say it's with intentionality. That's just my opinion. As I look at all of this objectively, many degrees of separation removed, having sat in both of those persons' seat in an organization, a government organization to boot, and having sat on a number of boards, been the head of finance committee, received reports from administration, looked at budget to actual, figured out what our financial strategic plan was going to be, that this is not by accident. This is intentional. I can't see it any other way.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
The numbers are the numbers. How you evaluate them and what you're willing to reveal as to the frailty of, you know, the protocols inside the accounting office or whatever it may be, that's what this is all about. That's what this has been all about for a long time, going back multiple administrations. So I cannot believe for a moment that they were telling the council anything contrary to what they went in April 17th, 2025, as pointed out by WDSU-TV, these representations being made to the council. Here we are. Allegedly, we're going to have a $100 million surplus. We end up with $160 million, $163 million deficit, to be exact. And now, we're not sure whether or not we're going to make payroll for the last five pay periods of 2025. There's a huge, huge delta here between these representations. And no one, I've watched all the council meetings, the budget meetings, no one has provided, in my view, a reasonable explanation as to why we find ourselves in the position that we find ourselves in today, which is tragic. But what it's emblematic of is ineptitude, quite frankly. And I know there were some council members yesterday that feel bad for who's taking the heat here. I wouldn't feel bad at all. Collectively, the city looks like a band of idiots. And if you're going to remediate this problem moving forward, everybody better step up and take the responsibility for their actions, because you're not going to move forward. They will continue to cover up the deficiencies here. And Joe Threat, as good a guy as he is and as transparent as he's been thus far, thank God, there's not enough of Joe Threat to change this culture. People need to be held to account right now, because moving forward, and a number of council members represented this in their comments, it's got to change now. It's got to be shock and awe. We can't be all nicey. We can't be nice. This isn't about nice. We have put ourselves in a predicament that's going to be very difficult to get out of. How do you move this city forward when you can't get your it together? It's a legitimate question. A legitimate question. There's a whole bunch of stuff that was said in that meeting yesterday that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. Knowing a little bit of how this works from, you know, an accounting standpoint as to where we should be putting all of this money, it's crazy. But yesterday there was a representation made that in 2018, this city had $4 billion federal grant portfolio. At that point in time, that means that we would have to spend $4 billion on the front end to be reimbursed on the back end. The city realized that it was in a difficult position from a cash basis, that they didn't have the necessary cash flow to be able to front this money and wait for the reimbursement. So they entered into negotiations with FEMA relative to the JIRR program. And they were able to, in 2021, work out a situation where FEMA would advance $90 to $120 million periodically, and the city would dump that into their general fund. Now, I believe there's a problem. I could tell you that if I would have been looking at this, there would have been a special revenue fund set up to account for all of these dollars of JIRR separately. And I'm sure in the ledgers they have a way that they did that. But the fact of the matter is there would have been a strategy as it relates to these advance payments being made as to how we were going to transfer this out on the operational side of actually doing the work out there in the field. There has to be an intrinsic connection, real close nexus between these two activities, revenue, receiving it, and expenditures going out of the door. Because we should have known that we didn't have the cash flow, we didn't have the working capital to support these kinds of dollars, right? JIRR, I think, was about $1.6 billion of that $4 billion total. That's the annual budget of the city. So if you take a percentage of that any given year, you know it's going to be a stressor on your organization. Now, I suspect that those dollars dumped into the general fund helped their cash flow. There's no inside information that I have, but I'm listening very carefully to what they are saying. And what they are saying is that when that payment stopped, all hell broke loose. And that's why we're making this representation that, you know, the shutdown of the federal government has become a problem. It should have only been a problem for JIRR, not for the entire city. Had the financial strategy and protocols been in place to account for same. We got off into a conversation about a FEMA grant being extended to 2028 because it's going to expire in 2025. They have about $300 million worth of projects in progress. These are all sideshows because presently the city's only owed $5 million in reimbursement by the federal government at the present time. This is their words, not mine. When you begin to chart out all of this math, it's not making any sense. It's a deflection. It's a distraction. This is not the core problem. The extension of that grant has its own downstream implications, separate and apart from the predicament that we find ourselves in right now. Right now. So I don't know where this is all going to end up going, but I can tell you that there's going to have to be significant changes as to how we account for this. Now, the last point, because I'm running out of time. How any person who's putting together a budget can put a line item for overtime for the New Orleans Police Department at $45,000 is beyond me. If you're going to put together a budget document that's meaningful, right? This is kind of the guiding light for the city. Is it going to be absolutely exact? No, but it's got to be meaningful, right? $45,000 is a plug number, plain and simple. Let's call it for what it is. Call them out. It's a plugged number because you wanted the budget to reflect something, an outcome. And I'm wondering how many other plug numbers are in there, because if you look historically, there's no way anybody's going to have me believe that the NOPD spent on average of $45,000 in overtime in any given year. Typically, you look back, you remove the extraordinary events, you take some percentage of the total that you've spent in overtime in evaluating your employment base, how many people are actually working for you at that point in time. You sit down with the head of the NOPD and their financial team, and you try to figure out how much money they're going to need in overtime for that particular year. You certainly don't plug the budget with $45,000, because the day you adopted that budget, the moment you put that number on that piece of paper, that budget was not worth the paper it's written on. It's not a guiding light. It's bullshit. So let's call it for what it is. I just said a bad word and they just knocked it out. So it's BS. Right? It's absolute BS, that number. Let's call it out for what it is so that it never happens again. Because council members are not in a position to understand and digest the granular details as to what's going on with these financial statements, the budget being a tool to be used in order to effectively manage an organization so that, you know, you do your budget to actual reports, which would be meaningful for the council to have every month, to include sales tax revenues coming in, property tax revenues, and things of that nature. But this whole process has been a charade. And until we call it for what it is, we're never going to get to the point where we want to be the promised land, where we have and creating financial documents that are sacrosanct. They actually have meaning. They actually reflect exactly where we are. That snapshot that Gilbert Montagno talked about, if we spent, and I'll quote again, if we spend every dollar this entire year and everything comes to fruition, we will end the year with a $100 million fund balance. I don't know what didn't come to fruition, because everybody's saying that the $40 million spent in police overtime predominantly in the first two quarters of 2025, that had come to fruition. Are we saying that we spent a whole lot of money in the back half? I don't know. I don't know what they're saying. I don't know that anybody understands completely what anyone's saying. Sounds like a rosy picture, right? We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.